Many were of the belief that when the education policy program known as No Child Left Behind was created, it would address the needs of school students, encourage their potential, and place proper focus on priorities regarding their learning. Now, despite some debate, it has done that for some among the, I guess we could say, the slower learners with the most need to rise to what some consider to be a low bar. The result of the push of that program has actually caused the neglect of another group of students, those who have a true ability to achieve at levels above basic proficiency. Now, that class students are dismissed by some as having no need for programs and policies to help them reach their full potential. Fact is, that need is there, and answering it is the Every Student Succeeds Act. My first guest today joins us to present whether the Every Student Succeeds Act is being properly utilized here in New Jersey. He is the president of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, Michael Petrilli. Thanks for being here today, sir.
Thank you for having me.
And for more information about this, another point of focus of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, it's edexcellence.net. And, of course, we have a link over at our website, so you don't have to remember where I just spilled into your ears. But just for the foundation, for the person listening, what's the difference between the New Child Left Behind Act and the Every Student Succeeds Act?
Right. Well, first of all, they're both federal laws that govern K-12 education. No Child Left Behind, as folks probably remember, was a law passed under George W. Bush's administration, an administration that I served in, and it did some good. It would put a big focus on making sure that we help the lowest performing kids catch up, and we've made some real progress on that. Our lowest performing kids in this country are doing a lot better than they were 10 or 15 years ago, and now we're starting to see that follow through in things like increased high school graduation rates. So that's promising. Unfortunately, though, what that law did is it was very prescriptive in the way that states had to measure student progress and how they had to measure schools and what they had to do with schools if they didn't measure up. And everything was focused just on getting kids to a very low standard. There was no attention given to kids who were already at that standard in reading and math or above it. The Every Student Succeeds Act, which passed Congress in 2015, got rid of No Child Left Behind and replaced it with this new law. And it gave a lot more leeway to the states in how they want to decide how to measure student achievement and how to measure progress and how to rate their schools. And it opens the door to allowing them to focus, instead of just on the lowest performing kids, on all kids. Now it's up to the states, though, to take advantage of that opportunity.
So then, is the Every Student Succeeds Act one of the reasons why New Jersey and many other states, although many of the states actually dropped out, instituted what's known as the PARC testing system as opposed to the old standard school testing systems that we've seen?
Well, no, these are actually two separate issues. The PARC testing is tied to the Common Core standards, which came around in about 2010. That initiative started as a state-by-state initiative for the states to voluntarily get together and try to raise their standards and do a better job of identifying what kids need to know and be able to do in order to be on track for college or a good-paying job. And then the PARC tests were designed to go along with those standards. But the ESSA tests, the ESSA law, what should help is that it makes it crystal clear that those kinds of decisions are in the hands of the states. As you may recall, there was a lot of controversy about Common Core, in part because the federal government did provide extra money through the Race to the Top program for states that adopted the Common Core. That led to a big backlash on the right, which I totally understand. What ESSA says, the Every Student Succeeds Act, or ESSA, says is, hey, the standards are completely under the control of the states. The feds should have nothing to do with that. No incentives, no encouragement, totally up to the states. So, look, what we see in New Jersey is you've got, in my opinion, very good standards now. You've got a very good test, and a test that sounds like is going pretty smoothly this spring in terms of the testing that's happening right now. And now New Jersey can change its accountability system, the way it turns test scores into school ratings, to be state-of-the-art. And that's the opportunity that we hope New Jersey and other states will seize.
And you, along with your organization, have a few ideas. One is, in a way, tandem to what we've seen recently with teacher evaluations, where the percentage of different elements have been changed. Class observation, for example, for teacher evaluations has been increased significantly, and test score results have also come into play. So in a similar way, you recommend that when calculating summative school grades, make growth of individual students from one year to the next for all kids count, for a large proportion of how schools are graded, as opposed to simply the here and now, and there's no peripheral vision to that element.
That's right. That's right. And this is important for a couple of reasons. First of all, this is the fairest way to evaluate schools. You know, schools don't have control over the achievement levels of the kids that are coming into their schools. So if you're a middle school and you've got sixth graders coming in who are on average several years behind, you've got no control over that. You have no, you know, that's not your fault. What you can control is helping those kids make a lot of progress while they are in your school. And that is what we should measure, and that is what we should focus on. The other issue is that if all you're focused on is whether kids are reaching a certain level on the state test, kids who are already above that level, the higher performing kids, will tend to get ignored. And that's a huge issue in this country. You know, we've talked a lot about failure or low performance in this country. We have another problem, which is that our high-achieving kids, and especially low-income high-achieving kids, are not getting the attention that they need. They're not getting the challenge that they need. Other countries are much more focused than we are on making sure that their best and brightest kids have an opportunity to be challenged, to really go as far as they possibly can. Here, those kids tend to be an afterthought at best, and our accountability systems have been a part of that. So if instead we send a signal to schools that say, hey, you are responsible for helping everybody make progress and make progress over time, kids who come in behind, but also kids in the middle and kids at the top, everybody's got to make progress over the course of the year for you to be considered a solid school doing your job, that is the kind of signal that we want states like New Jersey to send.
So rather than try to, let's just say arbitrarily, get every student up to a point where the school average is a C, let the D students work up to the C, maybe even a B level, and encourage and work with the C and B students to work up to that A level.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Rather than just say, well, the A-level kids are going to pass this test no matter what, so we can just kind of ignore them and their needs. And that's unfortunately what's been happening. It tends to happen especially in schools that have a lot of low-performing kids. Those tend to be the schools in the higher poverty areas of the state. So you've got a kid growing up in poverty who, despite all odds, is doing really well in school, has a lot of academic potential, could be the kind of kid that goes to college, he goes to selective colleges, you know, really uses education to climb that ladder to the middle class, live the American dream. And those kids are at the bottom of our priority list in our education system. We completely ignore them, and they're on their own, and that's just not right. And the state of New Jersey should try to do everything it can to make it clear to schools that, hey, every kid matters, and let's make sure that it's not just about getting kids up to a basic standard. It's about helping every kid live up to their full potential.
So I'm Michael Petrilli, who is the president of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. EdExcellence.net is their website. We're talking about the Every Student Succeeds Act and how New Jersey could best implement its various elements. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Another idea, too, that you have is for the Academic Achievement Indicator, to give schools credit, additional credit, for getting more students to an advanced level on the state assessments instead of just rewarding the schools for raising the proficiency rate. So it's an expansion of the progress. Am I understanding that correctly?
That's right. That's right. We can look at changes over time. We can make sure that schools are being held accountable for getting everybody up to that next level rather than just getting everybody to a low standard.
Another idea that you present, too, as what New Jersey could do, further signal the high achievers are important and have value, to make them – that sounds as a slight to superficially, but its mechanics are have value, to almost treat the high achievers as you do the special needs students, make them a subgroup and use the ratings for that subgroup as a means for rating the school.
That's right. This is something a handful of states already do, calling out these kids individually as a group and saying, hey, are they making progress? Are the highest achieving kids in the state or in the school showing progress over time as well? So this is another way to bring some attention to a group of kids who have been overlooked.
Another idea, too, to encourage the high school students. Able students earn college credits before they graduate by measuring the percentage who succeed in what's called advanced placement or various other advanced courses. And that's a way, really, where they can be challenged and be, I guess, encouraged to reach for potential where maybe there's been an absence of that empowerment to do the reaching.
That's right. And look, this is something that's all over the country is really growing, are these advanced placement courses. It used to be something that was just in the most elite high schools, public and private. Now it has spread all over, which is great because it's giving kids access to challenging college-level courses while they're still in high school. The downside is that in some places they've had the attitude that we should let everybody take these courses, even if they're not nearly ready for them. And we think that's a problem. We don't want to keep, be too harsh on keeping kids out, but there should be an expectation that if you're going to take an AP history course, you're ready for the challenge. And so we want to reward schools for helping kids not just take the courses, but actually pass the exams that go along with those courses, the exams that allow kids to get college credit if they score high enough. And that's the proposal we have here. Again, it's something that many states are looking at, are the performance on these tests. You can also do it for the International Baccalaureate Program. There's also something called dual enrollment, where some states are letting kids take regular college courses while still in high school. All of this is a way to encourage more challenging coursework in high school, and again, make sure that those highest achieving kids have a chance to be stretched and to be challenged as well.
And it sounds like, too, it would reverse the trend where we're seeing high school students get into college totally unprepared, to where I guess the old axiom is you're not a freshman in college, you're now in the 13th grade, because that's how remedial some colleges mm-hmm. have to teach their students to turn the 11th and 12th grades into true college prep platforms so that the students, when they get to college, are ready to rock and roll.
That's exactly right. No, you got it. And again, what we have in our education system is a big focus on those kids ending up in remedial education, and we should. We've got to fix that problem. But very little focus on the kids who are ready for college, but are often sitting in high school, not learning much, just kind of twiddling their thumbs, biding their time until they get to go off to higher education. They deserve to be challenged also.
Learn more about the Every Student Succeeds Act, how it should be, and is in many places, many states being correctly implemented, and what New Jersey needs to do to step up to make it truly effective. You can visit the Thomas B. Fordham Institute website, edexcellence.net. We've been joined by the president, Michael Petrilli. Michael, thanks for being here today.
All right. Thanks for having me.